I'd like to call this meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. It is 11:09 on January 25th, 2020. Members present are, I do not see Representative Antar online as of yet. I know she will be here. We have Representative McCabe, Representative Vance, Representative Story, Representative Ortiz, and myself, Vice Chair Stutes. I will be standing in for Representative Tarr today. I would like to bring to the attention of the members of this committee and the people in this room, masks are required. However, Representative McCabe has a medical situation that precludes him from wearing a mask. So with that, welcome Representative Christ Tompkins. I would like to say we do have a quorum to conduct business. And before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone to please mute their cell phones. Members, if you need to get the attention of the House Fisheries Committee aide, Thatcher Brower, please just pass a note. He'll be happy to help you out. I'd like to thank Shannon McCain, our committee secretary, and Talia Ames from the Juneau LIO for support. We have two items on the agenda today. SJR 16, End Russia Embargo on U.S. Seafood, and SJR 17, Increase Seafood Exports. Since these resolutions are related, we're going to consider them together. And to introduce these resolutions, we have Senator Stevens' aide, Tim Lampkin. Unfortunately, Senator Stevens is not able to join us as he's currently on the floor with the Senate. So, with that, if you would put your name on the record and introduce the resolutions for us, Mr. Lampkin, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens, and you're correct, the Senate called this floor session. So, Senator Stevens is very grateful that we're having a hearing on these resolutions, but he's unable to attend in person. Before we get underway, I guess I would request that if the folks that we've lined up to testify are online, that if they can hear us, that we're going to need them to call in. So those folks that are representing the industry at this time, if you can hear me, to please proceed to call in on Plan B, as we discussed, and that as I'm presenting the resolutions, that'll give them time to connect.
Okay, and along with that, I would like to mention that they will need to call in because currently our Teams is not working. So if they were intending to call in using Teams, they need to call in via the phone. Do we have the number that they could call in on?
Yes, Madam Vice Chair, yes. I made sure they had all that information.
Okay, and I would like to also mention that Representative Tarr, the chair of this committee, is with us online. Welcome, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So, Mr. Lampkin, proceed.
Thank you again, Tim Lampkin. The two resolutions before you are complementary to each other, and I would speak to both of them. First, SJR 16 relating to Russian embargo. You know, Alaska fisheries, as you know, are a centerpiece to the state's economy. Anything that increases the value of our seafood products increases our economic health here. In August of 2014, the Russian government banned a broad range of imported food products from not only the United States, but also the European Union, Canada, Australia, and Norway as retaliation for Western sanctions over the Ukraine crisis. And this includes virtually all edible seafood products from Alaska. And while, as you likely know in the headlines very recently, if not even today, there's tensions that continue over the situation in Ukraine. And Alaska must nonetheless appeal to our federal government to help find some relief here. You're going to be hearing from industry reps momentarily to confirm some numbers. But in order to remain competitive in the world's seafood market, our Alaska seafood processors need some help from our partners federally. SJR 16 is an effort to reach out to those partners and to restore a pathway for Alaska seafood industry for fair market access to Russia. Now, similarly, as regards SJR 17, our Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, known as ASME, whom represented behind me, reports Alaskan waters traditionally have contributed about two-thirds of the Alaska seafood harvest nationally. In recent years, newly imposed Chinese tariffs on U.S. imports have substantially damaged our market demand and for Alaska seafood in China. It also has given a disproportionate advantage to competitors in that market, as, for example, Alaska pollock faces about a 500% higher tariff rate than Alaskan pollock, or excuse me, Russian pollock. So as that market share continues to decline, hundreds of millions of dollars are lost to these competitors based on these tariffs, and this resolution 17 would attempt to restore focus on negotiations with China to ease this tariff war that's underway. Right the market, level the playing field in favor of Alaska. I've probably said enough here. These resolutions speak for themselves, urging attention by our federal team of negotiators. You're going to be hearing again from these reps. They're standing by to confirm the facts and figures of the resolutions and some staggering financial losses from sales as a result of these embargoes and tariffs. That concludes the presentation, Madam Vice Chair. I'd be happy to attempt to answer some questions.
Thank you. Representative McCabe?
I don't really have a question, Madam Chair. I went through that United States Trade Representative webpage yesterday, and I was, to say as it was dismayed was at what they represent from Alaska was an understatement. I was furious, frankly, at the way they treated the Alaska seafood industry, and I hope we're going to hear from the experts. You know, Alaska seafood is our shining star. It's our number one export and has been for decades by far. And I hope that we hear that from the representatives that we have lined up to speak. And I hope we can find a way to convince the Office of the United States Trade Representative that neglecting to even mention our seafood industry in their main page is what is causing our partners, or not partners, but it's causing the Chinese and the Russians to disregard us. We're the big gorilla in the country for for seafood. Why is that page not even mention seafood? I was aghast to read that. It's a real poor representation of what Alaska actually does for the country and the world, frankly. So, not really a question, but I hope that we get to hear those kinds of facts today.
Thank you. Along those lines, I guess I have a question. And my question would be, rather than asking to lift this tariff, why aren't we asking that we not import any Chinese or Russian fish? Why not turn the tables and put the embargo on them? That way, Americans and the U.S. will be buying Alaskan fish and Alaskan products instead of Russian products, including pollock. So I'm a little confused maybe by that. So maybe as the testimony goes, that question can be answered. So with that, unless you have a response, Mr. Lampkin, maybe you'll want your testifiers to respond to that question.
I'd be happy to answer the question. I just don't want to stir up a debate that's on a much more global scale than Juneau, Alaska. But I think I'm going to try to dodge that one, if you don't mind, Madam Chair.
Very well. With that, we would ask Jeremy Woodrow, the Executive Director of Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, which is also known as ASME, to come forward for his testimony. If you would identify yourself and put your name on the record and give your testimony, we'd appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you, Speaker Stutz, and thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the House Fisheries Committee. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you today. For the record, my name is Jeremy Woodrow, and I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute supports all efforts that will help increase the value of Alaska's fisheries. SGR 16 and SGR 17 recognize important economic hurdles that the Alaska seafood industry faces in regards to imbalances in foreign trade. Seafood is one of the most traded food commodities worldwide. In any given year, between 75 and 80% of Alaska seafood by volume is exported. It is vital to the economic health of Alaska's communities and its seafood industry that we can remain competitive in the global marketplace. The challenges that the Alaska seafood industry faces have only been amplified through the course of the COVID-19 pandemic, thus further stressing the need for fair and balanced foreign trade. Over the last 2 years, Alaska has seen its export values decline considerably due to the shipping disruptions and escalating costs, border closures, and rolling closures of end markets. When compared to 2019, exports in 2020 were down $500 million, and in 2021, they were down approximately $300 million. However, Alaska's export challenges started much earlier than the pandemic. SJR 16 and 17 specifically address the ongoing trade disputes with Russia and China, respectively. I'll first speak to Russia. From king crab and pollock to wild salmon, halibut, and cod, Russia competes with Alaska commercially harvested seafood across the global market. The majority of Russian fisheries are also now certified sustainable, further reducing Alaska's competitive edge. Furthermore, Russia aims to surpass Alaska in terms of quality, value, and production, with its commitment of nearly $7 billion to modernizing its seafood processing, cold storage, and fleet. In 2014, Russia embargoed U.S. food products, including Alaska seafood. Russia was an important export market for salmon roe, and the embargo overnight displaced some $60 million worth of Alaska salmon roe products. Russia, however, still enjoys access to the U.S. market, and since 2014, the U.S. has seen Russian seafood imports increase by 173%. Russian products are often imported and sold at a lower cost, and therefore undercut the value of Alaska seafood products in our most valuable market, the United States. Now switching gears to China. China remains an important destination for Alaska seafood. The Alaska seafood industry invested over 20 years developing the China market for reprocessing and domestic consumption. The efforts put forth by ASME and our industry partners grew China into the industry's number one export market, reaching nearly $1 billion in exports in 2017. The retaliatory tariffs in 2018, however, have dropped exports to China to recent record year lows. Alaska now exports to China just over half of what it had prior to the retaliatory tariffs in 2018. The Alaska seafood industry and ASME recognize the need to diversify our export markets. In response, ASME has invested nearly $5 million in diversifying the Alaska seafood industry's overseas portfolio, which was only made possible by one-time federal funding, which is soon to expire. New and emerging markets in Southeast Asia, South America, and Eastern Europe all show immediate promise for establishing additional processing capacity and end-user markets. However, this too will take time and significant investment from ASME in the industry. Until this can be accomplished, it's important that China remain open and fair to trade with the U.S., or at the very least, make good on its promises to purchase U.S. seafood under the Phase 1 agreement. While the geopolitical challenge associated with Russia and China is significant, and Alaska seafood is more often than not a small role in the negotiations, the negative impacts to our state, our communities, and our fishing families is significant. Your support and emphasis shown through SJR 16 and SJR 17 is very much appreciated and also necessary as we continue to strive for equitable foreign trade. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Woodrow, maybe you could answer my question. Why is it that we're not asking that we embargo their food from coming in as opposed to adjusting or looking at the tariff rates?
Speaker Suits, that's a great question. And you know, I will say that in the terms of foreign trade negotiations, I'm not an expert at this. I can tell you it is frustrating when we go into a grocery store here in the U.S. and see Russian seafood products sold at a much lower rate. We hear it from the processors we work with. We hear it from the fishermen that we work with. And so it is a great question that I don't have a good answer for you, frankly. And it's one that I think someone maybe higher up than yourself and myself should be able to answer as well.
Thank you. Representative McCabe.
Thank you. You said certified sustainable. What does that mean?
Great question. Through the chair, Representative McCabe. Certified, there's a few different certifying bodies that are third-party certifying bodies. The global marketplace requires these as a barrier of entry into certain regions of the world. Certain customers require a third-party certification. One of the more notable ones is the Marine Stewardship Council, or MSC, certification. Alaska has also created its own third-party certification, known as the Responsible Fisheries Management Certification. Most of our fisheries in Alaska hold dual certification. This certification really, it's an eco-label. It provides consumers that confidence that when they're purchasing the product, they're purchasing a product that meets certain environmental regulations and sustainability regulations as formed by a larger governing body.
Follow up,
Representative McCabe.
So you didn't say that about China?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe. You know, I'm thinking of a political way to answer this. Southeast Asian fisheries vary in their sustainability. And so there may be some fisheries in the southern parts of the world that may hold some certifications and others do not. There is a large portion of Chinese seafood that is farmed, and that varies in the certification as well. And there are varying certification schemes that apply to farm seafood.
One more, Madam Chair, if you'll indulge me. Thank you.
Certainly.
So is there a way for ASME or some sort of advertising to focus on the dual sustainability certificates that Alaska Fish have and sort of, define ourselves away from the Russian fish? And I know that with the farm fish, I mean, there's lots of Alaskans I know, and lots of chefs I know that won't use anything but natural Alaska salmon. They don't like farm fish. They don't like its texture. There are chefs I know that won't use anything that comes from, say, the Mekong Delta because it's the river that it's usually fished in is sewage filled oftentimes. So, you know, I wonder if there's a way to differentiate us. You know, we are such a big entity, and to Speaker Stutz, Vice Chair Stutz's point, you know, maybe an embargo would be, or the trade war is above us, but maybe we can, as ASME and a state, sort of differentiate ourselves through advertising for those that care about natural fish and the way we sustainably fish our waters.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, that's a great point that you make, and it's exactly what ASME is trying to do through our mission. One thing that sets Alaska apart from our global competitors is we have a great story. The dual certification is part of our great story. We have generations of fishing families that meets that great story. And those are the stories that we tell that do resonate with consumers and help us command a premium product and premium value for our products worldwide. It still is a very competitive marketplace, though, and sometimes the story is not enough. Sometimes many consumers just shop by price point, and that's where we lose out oftentimes, where cost of labor and other variables such as trade tariffs impact the value of our fish and overseas. But the larger net we can cast across the world to tell our story, the better we'll be able to bring those values back to our fishermen here at home.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of things on this brief paper, page 3 at the bottom. It talks about Russia's investment in their plans in the future, and total investments in the fishery sector include shipbuilding, plant building, aquaculture development, marketing between 2018 and 25, and are estimated to reach $6.9 billion. We've known that Russia has been really positioning themselves in the world market for quite some time. And I would like to dive farther into this, of what our long-range plan is for Alaska, that we can work with ASME, we can talk about strategies moving forward, because we just heard in the budget subcommittee of the Arctic studies that we need to be investing into looking at those fishing grounds and the impact. And I want to have a holistic approach of how we're going to market that, because we cannot ignore what Russia is doing. So I would love to have a further conversation on what that is and how we can be strategic and look to the future. We need a 20-year plan as well, because that's going to come much quicker. The Arctic passageway is going to become economically viable in under 20 years, and the fishery is going to be huge in being able to export as well. So that's something I'm highly interested in. But as far as this resolution, Madam Chair, I am in agreement with you. I think that as state representatives, we know that our Alaskan fish speaks for itself. And I I do not want to sign my name to a resolution that is asking pretty please to get Russia to stop doing what they're doing. I think that that puts us in a position of weakness, asking nicely to change something when we are in the position to say, no, we are going to make, as Americans, we're going to make Alaskan fish a priority, and that Americans will buy Alaskan fish first. Maybe Alaska can't produce the demand, and we can't stop other imports, but we could at least prioritize U.S. fish, specifically Alaskan fish. And I think that we need to reflect that by amending this document to make that request. And I think that that would be a much stronger request, showing that we really believe in our fish resource and the product that we have as Alaskans as being superior in the world market. So I am more than willing to work with you and the committee on strengthening that to make the words reflect how we value our fish.
Thank you, Representative Vance. Are there further questions?
Madam,
Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. So I keep wanting to call you Madam Speaker. I guess either is appropriate.
Whatever you call me, I'll answer.
I agree with Rep. Vance for sure, and I'm willing to work with you as well. Back in the 80s and 90s, when I was in the Coast Guard, we spent a huge amount of time patrolling our exclusive economic zone for, frankly, for Russian trawlers. And especially the donut hole was a huge. We spent a lot of time out. I can't even begin to tell you. You might even know from your husband, but the amount of time we spent patrolling. I know that amount of time is not being spent right now by our federal government to protect our exclusive economic zone fisheries because they don't have the money. And maybe this resolution could reinforce that as well, that we need to increase the patrols to make sure that our fishermen and our exclusive economic zone are protected. And I'd be willing to work on that sort of language or that sort of amendment as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative McCabe. Representative Tarr, do you have any comments or questions?
No, thank you. I appreciate the discussion and thank you to Jeremy for the work that AFME is doing. I wonder, well, and let me say, I do actually have one question, but it's a little bit more kind of thinking on the marketing side, and just he mentioned sort of COVID and impact there. Have there been any, in terms of the way people, any impacts because of the way people are thinking about their health, does that provide any opportunity for, you know, us to be marketing Alaska seafood as a good, healthy option? I think we already are doing that, of course, but in the context of COVID-19. And then, thank you for the good discussion on this.
May I answer?
Certainly.
Through the speaker, through the chair.
That's all right.
Chair Tarr.
You started something.
Rep. Kate McCabe got me stuck on it. health is definitely a big driving point. We have seen a change in consumer habits focused around health. And to be honest, seafood is having a fairly good moment as far as consumer demand because of health. Other proteins, especially land-based proteins, don't meet or don't check those boxes that seafood, frankly, does. And we are seeing a growing appetite in American consumers and consumers worldwide as the COVID-19 pandemic has brought more of a focus on health for everyone. So it is a good opportunity. It's one that AFME is working to capitalize on.
Thank you. And thank you for your testimony. And we do all appreciate AFME's great work with our seafood. We're lucky. Next, we have Stephanie Madsen, who is the executive director of the At-Sea Processors Association. Stephanie is with us online. Stephanie, if you would please identify yourself for the record and enlighten us with your testimony.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairman Stutz. My name is Stephanie Matson. I'm executive director of the At-Sea Processors Association, and I apologize for not being in person today. Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for scheduling today's important hearing, and thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Stephanie Matson. For more than 45 years, I have lived in coastal Alaska in communities that depend upon fisheries for their survival. My whole career has been spent advocating for sustainable fisheries to help ensure that those communities have a future. For the last 15 years, I have worked proudly with the catcher processor fleet that participates in the Bering Sea Alaska pod fishery, the largest fishery in the United States and the second largest in the world. It is my firm belief that the economic social well-being of Alaska's coastal communities and the entire Alaska seafood industry rise and fall together. The seafood trade issues before the committee today are a perfect example of this. The Alaska pollock industry exports a significant majority of our catch to markets in Asia and Europe, and the same is true for Alaska fisheries as a whole. The Alaska seafood industry is proud to serve American consumers, but the truth is that sheer size and scale of Alaska fisheries means our economic survival is heavily dependent on securing fair access to key export markets such as the European Union, the United Kingdom, Japan, China, and Russia. Fair international trade, in turn, increases excessive prices, provides greater revenues to harvesters, and promotes economic activity and security in communities throughout our state. Unfortunately, in recent years, changing international trade rules have reduced our competitiveness in some markets and completely cut off our access to others. China was positioned to be our most important growth market until 2018, when the U.S.-China trade war led to a crippling retaliatory tariff on all of our products. These tariffs remain in place and have led to a collapse in U.S. seafood sales to China. Russia was once an important market for Alaska seafood, but an outrageous embargo has banned U.S. seafood products from entering Russia since 2014. Successive federal administrations have failed to prioritize seafood in international trade negotiations, harming our competitiveness in key markets such as Japan and the European Union. We are grateful to leaders in the Alaska legislature who have recognized these serious threats to our industry and are calling for change. The two resolutions under consideration today will send an important message to Washington, D.C., that the U.S. seafood industry cannot be ignored and must be prioritized in federal trade initiatives and negotiations. The AFSCME Processors Association has worked hard to raise the alarm among federal policymakers about these threats. We have appreciated the partnership of many others in those efforts, including our good friends at AFSCME. We have also deeply appreciated the support of Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, and Congressman Young, all of whom are champions for our industry. Passage of these resolutions will further elevate those efforts. Thank you, and once again for the opportunity to testify. My colleague, Matt Tinney, and I are happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Stephanie, this is Representative Stutz, and I do have a question, the same question that I've asked earlier. Rather than asking them to negotiate or lift part of this tariffs, why aren't we asking them to put an embargo on Russian and Chinese seafood coming into the United States?
Madam Chair, good question. I think because we export our products to European countries, if there was a ban on Russian products coming into the U.S., those products would go into our other markets. And so there would be additional pressure in those other markets because Russia would, you know, focus, and China would focus on those other markets. And right now we don't have that pressure. But good question. I think there would be other domino effects that might not be unsure at this moment.
Thank you. Do we have other questions? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Stutz, and thank you, Ms. Madsen, for all your work. I'm just wondering if we have seen any movement at all in improved relations and trade changes possible since administration has changed. I know sometimes whenever administrations change on the federal level, sometimes there can be some glimmer of change in this resolution. Do you see it having more? We need this resolution, and I'm perfectly in favor of strengthening it in other ways. but I'm just wondering how you assess the situation right now. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Representative Stories, also a very good question. I do think that we don't know of the results, but Senator Sullivan has really been a champion for us, and he organized a meeting with the Secretary of Commerce, with United Fishermen of Alaska, and I was tasked with identifying the trade issues for her. Since then, she has tasked her staff with reaching out to us, and so we have had one meeting with her staff that have now opened up some doors to talk to some of the U.S. trade representatives where we really need to get their support to adding seafood to these trade negotiations. It's a very complex process, and so I think there's headways that could possibly be made, but as we all know, proof is in the pudding, and I'm not quite sure I have that proof today, but certainly the conversations and the doors are opening.
Thank you. Further questions? Representative Tarr?
Thank you. I'm okay right now.
Thank you. Stephanie, is Matt going to testify as well, or is he there with you? I have him down as an additional testifier, but it sounded as though you were testifying on behalf of both of you.
Representative Stutes, Matt is my lead staff on trade at, in D.C., and I had him on in case I was unable to answer your question. So he doesn't have any additional testimony, but he's a great resource. So I don't believe he has any additional comments at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, if there are no further questions, Representative Vance.
I do not have a question specifically for Stephanie, but if I do would like more information from Jeremy on page 3 of the Russian embargo brief. It's talking about U.S. imports of Russian seafood, and we see the increase from 2012 to 2018 of how much that's increased over those years. Could we see through those same years how much of our Alaskan seafood is purchased by U.S., just domestically? I want to see if that has grown just like the Russian imports have, and be able to compare that, because I think we'll see that how we're lacking, and Russia has been replacing our Alaskan seafood. I'm making an assumption here, and so I'd like to see the numbers. If Jeremy could provide that to us at another time, that would be helpful.
Wonderful. If you would provide that to Representative Tarr's office, she will make sure that the committee has it. Or you're certainly free to provide it to my office, but Representative Tarr's would be probably the most appropriate. Thank you. And with that, thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate it. Always nice to hear from you. And our next testifier will be Chris Barrows, who is president of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association. Welcome, Chris. If you would put your name on the record for us and begin your testimony, we'll appreciate it.
Thank you and good morning, Madam Chairwoman, Vice Chair Stutes, and members of the House Fisheries Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. For the record, my name is Chris Barrows, and I am the president of Pacific Seafood Processors Association. I speak to you today in support of both the Senate Joint Resolution 16 and 17, calling for a renewed focus by the USTR, U.S. trade representatives, on seafood trade with both Russia and China. We appreciate the Senate Special Committee on World Trade introducing these two resolutions that are now before your committee. That call attention to the unfair trade practices and inequities that these two key foreign seafood markets, within these two key foreign seafood markets, inhibiting wild Alaska seafood from competing on a level playing field. In response to, I think, some of the conversation that's already taken place, we see this as a first step, right? I do like the association that Representative Vance made in terms of needing to have a strategy. We think that ASME does a great job of helping to identify and market Alaska seafood both domestically and internationally. But Alaska seafood exists in a global market, and the U.S. market is part of that global market. right? And while the vast majority of our exports are U.S., and I'm sure ASME can speak to those in numbers like you asked, the fact of the matter is this is a global commodity, a global market, the fundamental aspect of goal from a Alaska seafood standpoint is to be able to compete in that market in a level playing field. So just a little bit about PSPA. We were founded in 1914. We're comprised of 8 major seafood processing companies operating at the center of Alaska's wild and sustainable seafood supply chain. And our members operate in 25 facilities in 15 coastal locations across Alaska. We also have 3 floating processors as part of our membership. And these processors, whether they're shoreside or afloat, they purchase Alaska seafood from harvesters, process it into various product forms, distribute it to markets in the U.S. and around the world. So our members compete in these global seafood markets, just like I mentioned, and that's just wanted to provide that picture for you. So seafood is an important economic engine for the state. You've already recognized that, so I won't underpin that, but it is important. It is Alaska's number one export product, as Representative McCabe mentioned, and it accounts for half of all Alaska exports. So our efforts to maintain and expand the value of our Alaska seafood is continued to be threatened by these long-standing unfair trade conditions. Fair access to export markets is a critical priority, and unfortunately, federal trade policies and negotiations have consistently failed to safeguard U.S. seafood producer interests. This has led directly to sharply unbalanced seafood trade landscapes that we're forced to navigate today, with steep trade barriers imposed by leading trade partners, even while seafood imports overwhelmingly enter the United States duty-free. So these two resolutions recognize that the success of Alaska's seafood industry relies on access and its ability to fairly compete in global markets. I think in the context of how do we engage in trade, we're fundamentally looking for a fair and a level playing field, and we're looking to de-escalate that in the context of where we are right now. I think, you know, if I had to put an overarching goal of what we wanted to do or what our message should be to U.S. trade representatives, is that let's help Alaska seafood compete, have a level playing field. And I think the issues are so complex. I am not a trade policy expert. I just know and I hear from my companies the impact that it's having on their abilities. But the what I've seen in my short time is that, you know, from a trade and a holistic competitive trade aspect, sometimes these issues, even the experts don't know where they're going to go. And one of the examples of that is how Alaska seafood got caught up in the EU and the Boeing trade disputes between the U.S. and the EU, and then seafood got part of that. I have no idea how Alaska seafood and U.S. seafood got on the list to be on trade tariffs associated with that issue, but it did, and then we had to deal with that. And luckily, that's been resolved now by the United States, and there's a truce, so to speak, I guess, in that particular context. But I identify it as to underscore the complexity associated with a lot of these aspects. So just a little bit more specifics on the U.S. and Russia. The trade war has rendered Alaska seafood companies unable to compete in the vast Chinese domestic market. According to ASME, between 2017 and 19, Alaska seafood exporters lost 63% of their market share in China. We've talked a lot about Russia, and I won't hit those points again. But fundamentally, a robust U.S. seafood economy directly shapes the long-term health of our Alaska seafood processing sector, including our ability to maintain and replace aging infrastructure in need of ongoing capital investment. A robust U.S. seafood export economy sustains our fishermen, our fishing communities, and related economies that support seafood production in general. So the other aspect is that markets once lost are difficult to recapture. Just like maintaining the biological health of our stocks is critical for sustainable fisheries management, maintaining the economic health of our commercial fisheries is important to the Alaska seafood industry to be able to continue to compete. So I thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. Thank you for your support. I've been really excited about the level of support that I've heard in the conversation just today for Alaska Seafood and your underlying faith that sustainable, nutritious seafood that comes from our federal and state waters off Alaska deserves the attention at the federal level to be able to correct these longstanding injustices currently embedded in the U.S. trade frameworks. And I think that recognizing the complexity of this is important in the context of how we deliver that message to the federal government. It's not just USTR. It is Department of Commerce that has a role to play in this. It's the State Department that has a role to play in this in terms of crafting and developing that federal message and how it's going to impact trade discussions with our trading partners. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barros. Do we have any questions for Chris Barros? Representative Tarr, do you have any questions for Mr. Barros?
No, thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Barros, for the presentation today.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, we appreciate you taking your time to come and testify before this committee, Mr. Barros.
Thank you all.
And with that, I will now open public testimony on SJR 16 and SJR 17. Do we have anyone here that would like to testify on either one of those resolutions? And I do not see anyone new online that would like to testify. So I will then close public testimony. And with that, we will be bringing these resolutions back up on Thursday, January 27th. So I would like to ask members if you have any amendments. They will be due to Thatcher here by 11 a.m. tomorrow. Thatcher, what's your room? Room 128. That's the resource room. So seeing nothing else to come before this committee at this time, I will adjourn the meeting at 11:50.